Hi, everyone. I'm Will Roadhouse. I'm the CEO of Compass Group International.
And I'm Dean Studebaker, CEO of Compass Group International.
And welcome to our podcast. It is March 2018. And if Dean sounds kind of muffled, he's actually in Costa Rica, and I'm thousands of miles away on the other end of the globe in Bangkok, Thailand. So it's night here and it's morning over there, or almost the afternoon over there. So Dean, before we start, today's podcast, I know it's been a while since we updated on Costa Rica and Thailand and different parts of the world. So today we're going to update what's new going on in Costa Rica and Central America, and then a podcast following this, we're going to do the same exact thing for Thailand and Southeast Asia and so forth. So back to Dean. So Dean, how's the weather over there?
Right now we're in dry season, so it's summertime, just like for you guys over there. So we're nice. It's probably low 80s right now. No rain today in the forecast. No, all good.
So, Dean, tell the listeners that in case someone is thinking on maybe going to Costa Rica on vacation or going to check it out for an extended period of time, explain to us again the different seasons and when is really the best time to go down to Costa Rica.
The best, the dry season, typically, or high season, dry season, that's typically going to be from November to June. And then you have the wet season, the slow season is going to be from pretty much June to November. So those are kind of the different sections. And again, it's since we are in the southern hemisphere, we are, we're the opposite. Again, for our listeners in North America, we're going to be in the opposite. So our winter time in the USA or in Canada is going to be the summertime down in Costa Rica. The best time to go, I always think, is me personally, I kind of like the tail end of high season. I kind of like being there in kind of that June, July timeframe, where it's kind of transitioning from the dry season into the wet season. And when I say wet season, the only time it really rains there, like consistently on a regular basis, is really the month of October. But for the most part, even during their wet season, it's still really nice pretty much during the day. Then usually by the afternoons, there might be a shower or two coming in. But for the most part, the weather is even nice during the rainy season. But I generally like to be there between May, June, and July. That, to me, is always the best time of the year to travel there.
So, Dean, tell us what's going on as far, because I know you're in San Jose, you're not in a beach area, so I want to make that clear for everyone. And San Jose, obviously, is the capital of Costa Rica, and majority of our business and all of our clients are actually in San Jose. So, Dean, the last time we updated this was about, I think, third quarter or fourth quarter of 2017. So since then, over the last maybe, quarter, so 3 to 4 months, what's new? What's going on in San Jose? What's going on in Costa Rica?
Costa Rica is benefiting from obviously kind of just an uptick in the overall economy from North America. I mean, we're starting to see a lot more projects kind of getting more accelerated than we have seen. And we're starting to see a greater amount of, hotel operations coming in there, which is always a good sign. And so we're starting to see that. We're seeing more signs of, again, from air travel into Costa Rica is ramping up. Many more routes from different parts of the world. They're adding additional legs to bring people into Costa Rica. So that's doing really well. I mean, airports, the main airport in San Jose in the capital, I mean, it went through a major overhaul about 5 years ago to update to manage the amount of traffic, and now they're already running into problems to where they have to expand even a little bit more. There's actually a new international airport is actually in the works of being constructed, because at the end of the day, the current airport in San Jose just can't can't take on any more business, and they have to. So they're in the process of building another large hotel that's going to be about 30 miles outside of the city. And partially that's going to be needed because there's just larger flights are coming from around the world. They want to start bringing flights in from Asia and want to start bringing flights in from more from Europe. And with that comes the larger planes, the 757s, the 787s, the 777 type airlines. And those planes are just too big to land in San Jose. So they have to expand. And so they can accommodate, or they have to go in with the new airport so they can accommodate the new global demand for to travel to Costa Rica. So that's always positive. The San Jose is also doing very well. Again, the international business community likes to make a lot of their headquarters in Costa Rica for their Latin American operations. Or is primarily their Central American operations, but for surely some of the companies there run everything out of Latin America in San Jose for a variety of reasons. The population there is an educated population. the general infrastructure of the city of San Jose, overall convenience of San Jose. I mean, San Jose just is a conveniently located and easily accessible for the most part. Again, minus obviously I was talking about the airlines, but our airport having to expand. But it's a very accessible country to get in and out of. And for those reasons, the business climate is just really there. Very favorable. There's a lot of tax-free zones there for businesses, so that attracts a lot of people. And then just from the overall economy there, it's still doing very, pretty – it's strong for Costa Rican standards, and we're all benefiting from that. Many, more and more expats are choosing to retire and move to Costa Rica. There's a lot of other countries in Latin America that that get talked about a lot as far as, a better destination possibly to retire because it's a little bit less inexpensive, and some of that's true, but the reason why Costa Rica still is the more popular choice is because people always talk a lot about like Ecuador or maybe even Panama and Nicaragua and maybe even different parts of Guatemala and stuff like that. And I always tell people it's like, they got to know what they're paying for. They might get about $20,000-$30,000 less as far as the same price for, let's say, the same size house or whatnot. But they're going into countries that are just way behind when it comes to just general services and things like that, that the countries, that those countries don't have to offer. A lot of those countries are kind of in political, governmental situations that are not favorable as well. So it's things like that that kind of still drive people to Costa Rica. I personally, the only other country that I usually will recommend if people don't want to be in Panama, Costa Rica would be Panama in Central America, just because, Panama, is similar to Costa Rica to an extent, price-wise, a little bit less cheaper, and they have some benefits there. But the one drawback Panama has is it's boring compared to Costa Rica. Costa Rica is just the ultimate outdoor playground for the eco-tourist, the eco-warrior, so to speak, the people who love to be in the outdoors and take advantage of nature from all the different outdoor activities. Costa Rica just is head and shoulders above everybody else or every other country down there. And then at the beach cities, again, still very strong. I mean, the hotels are having a record year as far as occupancy is concerned. Record number of tourists are coming into the country. A lot of developments have been picking up steam, starting to sell a lot of their starting to sell a lot at a faster clip. So overall, again, Costa Rica is consistently always very stable and always doing well.
The one thing that's very interesting that's happening in Costa Rica is the last time I was down there, which was about a month ago, is the amount of mainland Chinese is coming. And obviously, as everyone knows, the mainland Chinese are basically, they're just storming the earth and bringing opportunities and, with cheap lending. They're just everywhere. And Costa Rica, specifically in San Jose, is no exception. I mean, there's a mini Chinatown there, as I mentioned in the past. But one thing that's very interesting is now the Costa Ricans are now opening up and saying, hey, you know what? Well, since the Americans are still coming down here and the Canadians are still coming down here, but we need to start opening the market for the Chinese because the mass influx of Chinese is coming to the country. So Dean and I, actually Compass, is going to be releasing a project, a residential project, commercial projects, with one of the largest developers in Costa Rica later this year in China. We're going to be in China this summer marketing and selling Costa Rican real estate. So, Dean, how exciting is that?
Yeah, that's going to be good. We're going to be at one of the largest real estate conference / conventions in Asia, which will be in Beijing in over the summer. So yeah, looking forward to that, and looking forward to slowly but surely starting to introduce more and more of the variety of product to the Asian community, albeit whether it's the Chinese, the Singapores, the Japanese, the Koreans. So the whole idea is to start to look to show more of what Central and Latin America has to offer. The travel schedules are getting a little bit easier for Asian cities to fly into Latin America. So that's also helping a lot of this growth as well. So that's also a big reason because of that. And again, Latin America has just proven to be a steady investment for any investors from around the world. It's proven to be a steady investment. The other beautiful and nice thing about it is the one thing about Latin America, especially in Costa Rica, is it's just a very green country. It's very clean air country. I mean, it's just a very environmentally friendly area. Obviously, Latin America is similar to Asia in the sense of similar weather patterns, because they both kind of fall along the same lines, as far as where they, the parallel lines and whatnot. So weather and all of that is kind of very similar. So we're starting to see, that's also a big benefit. And there's a lot of benefits that some of these government or some of these countries are doing for outside investors to come in to come in as well. So that's also a big part of it as well.
The one thing I want to mention, and this specifically goes out to residential real estate developers in Costa Rica, or even actually in Central America, and any property owners in any Central American country that you own real estate in, and why it's important for you to also expand your marketing if you have real estate for sale to the Asian marketplace, specifically the wealthy Chinese in mainland China, in Hong Kong, and then also the wealthy Singaporeans. Here's the reason why, and this is what people don't understand. Asians obviously love to make money, and they love to buy real estate. So yes, as Dean mentioned, Latin America has shown to be a very consistent growth throughout the years or throughout the decade. But here's the thing. China, or the Chinese, should I say, the individuals are getting extremely wealthy. Actually, the new wealth, and you see me post article after article as they get written, and these major media are also pointing out that I had a little brain fart there. The newest billionaires and millionaires are actually coming out of Asia, specifically China. That the world's wealth and the largest opportunities right now for entrepreneurs, business owners, or millennials that's looking for a new job is in Asia. I posted a recent article for expats and what they can make in Asia. And an expat in the highest was actually, I think he was in the Mumbai or New Delhi, India, where expats were getting paid over $200,000 a year. That's more than any European city. And that's a lot more than a lot of other Chinese and other Asian cities. So there's a massive amount of opportunity. So when you make a lot of money, so if you're Asian, you're Chinese, and you have a lot of money, what's the next steps after that? Is that you want to get healthy and you want to extend your life expectancy. So as you know, China has one of the worst pollutions in the world. It's no longer number one. It's now India. But the pollution is horrible. It's horrendous. That sometimes our pollution is so bad during the hot months they will actually have pollution warning levels. It's been shown that places like in cities like in China, the heavy, high-density cities, and also high-density cities in India, has shown that just one day of walking around in a city is equivalent to almost smoking like a half a pack of cigarettes. It's absolutely insane. So why Latin America, specifically Costa Rica? Because the country there, and the reason why we're there is it's beautiful. It's clean. Costa Rica is one of the first countries to run solely on renewable energy, where they have actually relied a lot on renewable energy. Costa Rica is a green country. And those of you who have been there know how crisp the air is, clean the water is, and the whole country is absolutely spotless, unlike other Latin countries. So these affluent Chinese are looking to go to places like Costa Rica because they want to get healthy. They've made all their money. Now they want to seek places that's healthy. Europe has been their number one destination, but now it's kind of fizzled away. And now they're coming to Latin America, more specifically to Central America. So Dean, wouldn't you say that that is also some of the reasons why the Asians are coming, in addition to any others you can think of?
Yeah, and then I think a part of it too is because so much of America is just kind of priced itself out, especially along the Pacific Coast. It's just kind of ridiculous, the pricing that, if you want to, even try and get a house, or try and get, pick up a condo or anything like that, it's just ridiculous what you have to do to get into to get into California specifically. So that's a big part of it. And like I said, and like you said, yeah, I mean, just the overall quality of life is so much nicer in certain parts of Central America. I'll just say Costa Rica's quality of life is great. Obviously, there's other countries in the neighborhood, just like there are other countries in Asia that you don't want to go to. Obviously Latin America has the same, same kind of situation. So, but for those reasons why, yeah, just the overall quality of life and the life expectancy, the life experiences, the quality of the food, the naturality of the food, the air, the water, and just the natural beauty of the country. Especially if you're someone who, enjoys the outdoors, outdoor living, and being, being out in the environment and seeing the animals and all of that, because Costa Rica is just one of nature's, preserves is one of the things I like to kind of say about it, is it's one big preserve in a lot of ways, the way that Costa Rica is and just the wildlife that's there. And so it's just an amazing it's an amazing place from that standpoint. And then again, if you're an active outdoor person, whether it's from surfing to zip lining to hiking to mountain bike riding to rappelling and exploring waterfalls and volcanoes and doing all of that stuff, there's a lot of benefits in Costa Rica that just keeps you occupied. The fishing's amazing. Going fishing's amazing. I just got back from going out marlin fishing the other day, and that was just a great experience with a group of guys that are down here that are investing in a small development down here. We took them out I hadn't been out in probably about 2 years. So, which shocked me, because like I said, I love going out and fishing like that. So that was a great, day. And, so there's just always just something to do here, and that's what just makes Costa Rica so much fun.
The one thing I want everyone to realize is the reason why a lot of expats are also moving to Costa Rica is how easy it is to establish residency. I'm gonna go through all the details, but it is a very, very simple process. And it doesn't cost a lot of money as it does in most other foreign countries. So if you're interested, we can definitely hook you up with immigration attorneys, some of the top in the country. But also go back to some of the Costa Rican podcasts. We talk more about residency status, how to obtain residency status in a lot more detail. But the one thing that you have to understand too is the cost of living. So it's very interesting. And if you guys subscribe to our YouTube channel, so it's under W Roadhouse. And obviously on the YouTube channel is a mix of, just like this podcast, of different shows. You know, we have stuff about travel, we have stuff about business, we have stuff about real estate. It's a little bit of everything, but really everything revolves around international countries. And the reason why I disabled the comments is the stupidity of the comments that comes with it. And I will give you a good example. A good example of some of our videos on living $1,000 a month is a show that we're working on. And we talk about some of the cheap things to do, whether it's Central America, like Costa Rica, or here in Southeast Asia, like in Bangkok. And you always get these knuckleheads that's saying, you can't live on $1,000 or even $2,000 a month in Costa Rica. You'll be living in a tin shack and blah, blah, blah. Or we don't even want cheapskates like you. Well, it's annoying and stupid comments like that is the reason why we turned off our comments, because it's absolutely no help. And a majority of the individuals, when I research them, is that they've never even set foot in these countries. They're just some trash that lives somewhere in mid-America or somewhere in freaking Canada. Let me rephrase that. There's been no Canadians, all Americans, that say stupid things and never even left the country. This is what you need to understand, is that when we are talking about living on $1,000 a month, we're not talking about living in poverty levels like you do in America. You're still going to have a great lifestyle. But what you have to understand is the places that, because Dean and I have been living part-time in Costa Rica since 2002, 16 years. So don't you think by now we would know where all the local hangouts are? And places like Bangkok, Thailand, we've been living there for the last 5 years. So don't you think in 5 years, just like where you live now, you'll get to know the areas and where know all the cheap places to go eat and shop is? So $1,000 a month is very, very reasonable. So Dean, I'm going to turn it to you, is that explain to the folks out there, what is it like to live on $1,000 a month in, let's say, like in San Jose, Costa Rica? How much would like a one-bedroom apartment cost to rent? And what typically is the utilities and the cost of living, food and transportation? Before you answer, there's one more thing I do want to add. Inflation in places like Costa Rica do not fluctuate as high as they do in America. Because think about this. Right now, there are a number of restaurants, large franchises, and large shopping retail organizations that are forced to raise minimum wage. So if someone at Shake Shack is now making $15 to $18 an hour, don't you think your $8 burger is now going to be a $10 burger or $12 burger? Same exact thing in McDonald's, same exact thing in Target. Where in Costa Rica, we don't have massive fluctuations like that in income. So it doesn't correspond into your everyday cost of living. Food prices, like look at food prices in states like California. It's just outrageous. I mean, it goes up and down, and when it goes up, it never comes down. I mean, a gallon of milk is what, $5 or $6? It's insane. So, Dean, I'm going to turn it to you. Talk to us about being an expat in Costa Rica today.
Yeah, if you're a single person and you want to be, you know, you want a one-bedroom apartment, I mean, you can find one-bedroom apartments in decent areas. Now, again, I mean, San Jose is no different than any city that anybody lives in right now. They're probably listening to this. You have various sections of the town that are much more higher end, and then you have more lower end, and then you have kind of the middle road, then you have the lower to middle, then you have the middle to high. So every town has a section. You can go into parts of the like the middle of the road area of San Jose and find a studio one bedroom apartment in that $300 to $400 a month range. And if you add basic utilities to that, you're probably in for about, let's say, $550 to $600 a month. So that leaves you about $400 a month for food. And you're probably looking at, you know, let's say, to say food, and if you didn't have a car or anything, you just got around with like local transportation, you're probably in the neighborhood of $250 a month on food to, the bus system goes everywhere in Costa Rica. They have Uber there, which is extremely cheap. So you can literally, again, you're depending on people's habits. I mean, you never really know how much people eat or whatnot. But if you're an older person who doesn't eat that much and you're it's not like you're getting out and traveling all over the country all the time, and you don't have the full-on cable package, you don't have the full-on, you don't have all that stuff, you just kind of live, modestly, doing $1,000 is very, very doable. If you want to be able to have the ability to kind of eat wherever you want, nice restaurants whenever you want, if you want to have the ability to take a couple of days and travel up to maybe one of the beach cities and all of that, then if you're in that, then you need to be more in that $1,500 a month kind of consistently to then live that kind of lifestyle. But if you're happy just kind of living in the greater San Jose area, you're happy with just just a very simple basic life, enjoying your retirement, just enjoying nature around you and all of that kind of stuff, and you're not some crazy eater where you got to go run down to Outback Steakhouse and get ribeyes and all that stuff all the time, doing $1,000 is very, very doable. If you're a couple, then I would, and when we say $1,000 a month, we're not talking, I always try and tell people, because people ask it all the time, well, it's like, my family can't live for $1,000 a month. I'm like, we've never said your whole family. If you're going down there with two kids, or even with just your a significant other, of course $1,000 isn't going to work. It's basically $1,000 per person. So if you're a married couple, you can even still, even a married couple at probably $1,500 a month is absolutely not a problem. And even families, let's just say Costa Rican families. I have Costa Rican friends, very close Costa Rican friends that rent nice houses in very nice, neighborhoods in San Jose that have two or three kids. And they make maybe in terms of American dollars about $1,100 to $1,200 a month. So it's all very, very, very doable. If you want to live a comfortable life in Costa Rica where you take advantage of like I said, going and eating at nice restaurants a couple nights a week, you want to go and once or twice a week when you go out, you maybe then go to the movies, and then you maybe go get cocktails and drinks, you go listen, go to a jazz bar and all of that, and you like to do your little getaways down to one of the beach cities every now and then I suggest, then you probably are in. If you're making consistently $15,000 to $2,000 a month, you can have that lifestyle absolutely, no problem in Costa Rica.
The other thing too I want to talk about is that if you look at the amount of how much the cost of living has increased in the United States. So in 2002, I was living in Newport Beach, and Dean was living in Phoenix. And obviously, that's when we first started going down to Costa Rica, because that's when we set up our business. Is that when I look at between 2002 to now, 2018, I would say that the cost of living has increased by at least by 30%. From groceries to gas housing's a lot more. A place like San Francisco, it's gone up 100%. And Phoenix is really no different. It's getting more expensive. But Dean, would you say that since 2002 to 2018, is there a 30% increase in cost of living in Costa Rica?
No.
Not even close?
No.
It's certainly, the price has certainly gotten more expensive, but nothing like the States.
The only thing that's really got more expensive is food. Generally utilities and whatnot, they really haven't gone up that much. Over the last 15 years, from the water bill to the electric bill, your cable bill has gone up a lot more, because when we first got to Costa Rica, we didn't have, and it'd be no different even in the States, when you got a full cable package back in the early 2000s in Costa Rica, that maybe got you maybe ABC and maybe CNN, and that was it. Now, if you get full cable packages in Costa Rica, I mean, you can have DirecTV. I mean, they didn't have DirecTV. They didn't have, you know, Netflix. They didn't have any of that kind of stuff back then, obviously. So now you can have all that stuff. You can get the full-on sports packages. I mean, you can get anything via cable now in Costa Rica. So, yeah, again, if you're someone, I mean, back then our cable bill was like freaking $10-$15 a month, you know, and then if you added internet, because you didn't have Wi-Fi back then, but it just had your internet coming out of the wall, DSL, that was like $10. It was like for basic local television with, again, maybe, you know, CNN and one network, and then you had your DSL, that was like $30 a month. Now Wi-Fi, free, you know, to have Wi-Fi in your house can be about $25-$30. If you want the full-on cable package, yeah. I mean, if you want, you know, where you pretty much get almost every channel in the U.S., you can get down there. So, yeah, now you're looking at between Wi-Fi and cable, you could be at about $150 range. Well, but that's all relative. If you don't need that stuff, you don't have to pay that stuff. That's personal choice. And so the only thing that's really gone up for the most part has just been food, and that's a whole other, you know, that's a segment kind of goes off as to, you know, why food. But it's the biggest thing to always remember is it's what you pay, because that's always the biggest complaint by people that go down there. Well, the food was, you know, if someone just goes down there for a week and they eat at all the, you know, the tourist restaurants and all this stuff, they think, well, the food here is crazy. Well, yeah, and if you do go to the grocery store, even in, you know, if you're a local and you go to the grocery store, it can be expensive. But that is offset by a whole variety of things from, again, if you own property there, you have no property taxes. If you are living there and you are actually working there, you don't really have any income taxes that you're paying. To go get basic services, from getting your teeth done to getting oil changed in your car to getting a haircut to going to the movies, all that stuff is like 60-70% less than what we pay in the United States. So we may be on par with them when it comes to food. As you know, if you walk into a grocery store in Las Vegas and you come out and you spend $100, if you go down to Costa Rica and you buy the exact same stuff, you'll probably be at $100 too. So people are like, wow, food's just as expensive here. True. But for example, I can go get my teeth cleaned for $20. I can go get my haircut for $5. Well, if I go get my haircut when I'm in Phoenix at the Supercuts right up the street from my house, that's $17. So it's $12 less to get my haircut. So, you know, it's those types of things that add up. And then the fact that, you know, the property tax bill is virtually non-existent. You don't even hardly notice it because, you know, whereas, you know, you have properties that in the U.S., you're paying, you know, substantial property tax. So it's things like that offset. So, and again, most people that go to Costa Rica, or most people that, like you were saying, that make comments and things like that about anything, are people that have never lived there. And it's no different than a lot of the travel writers, whether they're writing for the New York Times or Huffington Post or CNN Travel. They're all full of shit, because you see what they write sometimes about some of these countries around the world, and they'll say this, they'll promote, you know, and it's like, no, you can tell you guys really haven't been there, because you can tell by, you know, all the countries we go to, you can tell when people have actually really been there or not. And you can tell that these people, like, they write these articles about these countries, and they maybe, you can tell that they actually go, or did they spend the weekend in the Four Seasons while they were there, or some Ritz-Carlton, and they just asked somebody that told them what they wanted to hear so that they could write about it or whatnot. So you always get a sense of that, and you see that on people's comments that they leave when they talk shit about country A or country B. It's nine times out of ten, most of the time, that they're, you know, they've never even really been there, or they've never even really experienced it. They're just, you know, they spent a weekend there or something, maybe one time, and their girlfriend broke up with them that weekend, so they hate the country ever since.
Everyone has an opinion, but not all opinions are welcome. I mean, it's, yeah, just some of the stupidity out there is astounding, and I'm glad those are the people that aren't traveling. The one thing, yeah, too, I want to wrap up with is, and again, this podcast, well, let me rephrase that, or let me back up. I have people that would say, hey, you know what? We know that you only work with, like, millionaires and billionaires, So why put the podcast out for people that don't make any money? The reason why Dean and I do this is because primarily what Dean just said is that if you look at travel writers and a lot of these writers that talk about living abroad, the information is, first of all, is never updated on a regular basis, where we try to update our podcasts and our videos on a regular basis to let you know economically what's going on, price increases, decreases, and so forth. So we're always up to date. But the other thing, too, is that places like Central America, we've been there since 2002, over 16 years. Don't you think we're experts by now? Yes. Do you think any of these other people writing, that write the stuff for a living, has spent that much time? Maybe they spent 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, maybe even 6 months. But still, that's not enough. And like I said, in Asia, you know, we've been living there. And really, I mean, I plant my seed here in Bangkok, Thailand for the last 5 years. I'm a freaking local. I know where everything is. Dean is too. Same with the rest of our consultants that come in and out of this country. Same like going to Taiwan or going to Singapore or going to Korea, going to Laos, going to Cambodia, going to Vietnam. We know it well because we've been coming here for years and years and years. So our information is correct. We would not be telling you this if it weren't possible. And so we put these podcasts really for everyone else, the 80 to 90%, the people that aren't multimillionaires or billionaires that live extravagant lifestyle. We do this as a public service for you. But here's the thing that we do ask is, number one, is that we're not travel agents. And I like to repeat that on a lot of podcasts. So please don't send us an email saying, hey, Will, can you call me? Can you send me information? I want to go to Costa Rica. How do I plan my trip? We're not travel agents, and we specifically put videos and podcasts together for those reasons, to help you out. So just look at some of the podcasts. You'll see podcasts on, okay, planning a trip to Costa Rica, here's what to do. Planning a trip to Thailand, here's what to do. And those videos are there too. So please research those, watch those, but please refrain from sending those those type of messages to us, because we will not respond to it. If we do respond, we're just going to respond with a link in one of our podcasts or one of our videos. And the second thing is that anyone out there that, and we really do go out of our way for people that are looking to eventually buy something. Let's say like in Costa Rica, we'll get an email from someone saying, hey, you know what, I'm thinking about retiring. I'm looking at Costa Rica. I've done my research. I've watched your videos. I've listened to your podcast. I really want to go down there. So, but before I buy, I want to live down there first for a little bit. So can you help me in finding a good property manager, finding a place for me to live? We will do that. We will do that. We will go out of our way to hook you up, connect you to the best property managers, and recommend places to live that suit your budget. But when the time comes for you to buy something, what we don't appreciate is not coming back to us. Is that we do that for a reason. We do that to help you, but also we do that in hopes that you're going to reciprocate and bring that business back to us. And we've certainly seen, you know, through Facebook friends of people who've helped, and all of a sudden, you know, just recently last year, Dean looks on Facebook, he's like, oh my God, he's like, this person just bought a house in Costa Rica, and we helped him get them there. Remember that, Dean? So,
yeah.
So that is what we ask. And we don't, you know, we don't make money on a podcast. There's no commercials on these things, YouTube videos. We don't make any money. We do it to educate the public out there. So say, hey, you know what? Instead of looking to retire in Florida or Phoenix or Tucson or Las Vegas or New Mexico, yes, those places are sunny and they're nice and they're somewhat less expensive than most of the parts of the country. But let me tell you, going down to Costa Rica is just as sunny, better air, better food, cost of living is half of the United States, and you're going to have a better life and you're going to statistically live longer. So really look at Costa Rica, because number one, now pretty much all states, you know, on the West, from Florida to California and many Midwestern states, are now doing direct flights to Costa Rica for cheaper than domestic flights. I mean, Dean and I I mean, recently I flew to Costa Rica for $199, and Dean was in the East Coast. I had some meetings in Florida, and he hopped on Spirit Air for like $150. The flights are cheap to Costa Rica. It's easy to get in and out of. So if you have that fear of, well, if I move to Costa Rica, then I won't see my grandkids, I won't see my kids, or I won't see my family. Well, trust me, they're going to come see you more often going to Costa Rica than if you were to move to Las Vegas. Because it's more expensive to go to Las Vegas than it is to go to Costa Rica. I mean, Dean, wouldn't you say that's the case?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, there's a lot of people that, because of the added competition of flights, you know, because every carrier goes to Costa Rica now, not just the big three, but all the other ones do, the Southwest, the JetBlues, the Frontiers, they all go to Costa Rica now. So it's just not Delta, American, United. So since now everything's opened and, you know, in Spirit and all that, so since they're all there, it's brought down the price of tickets quite drastically. So yeah, getting out of Costa Rica is not as expensive and challenging as it used to be, and there's so many direct flights going there now as well. So from different parts of the country, when we first started down there, it was maybe five cities went direct to Costa Rica, maybe five, and, you know, four maybe. I think it was Dallas, Houston, Miami, and you know what? When we first started, actually, it was really only Dallas, Houston, Miami, and Atlanta were the only places, and Newark. So there was five cities that went direct, and those are all the hubs of the three big airlines. But now, I think there's close to 24, 25 cities that fly direct into Costa Rica. So it's definitely you know, changed. And that's allowed pricing and everything to come down.
It's so inexpensive. I mean, I am shocked at how inexpensive it is. I tell people when someone, you know, says, hey, you know what, I'm thinking about going to Hawaii on vacation. I'm like, dude, Hawaii? The cheapest airfare to Hawaii is like $500 per person. And you're obviously going to take your wife or your girlfriend. Go to Costa Rica. Freaking flights, they start at like $199. And when you get down there, it's a lot prettier than Hawaii. And it's a lot less expensive. And the fishing is probably, it's just as good. So thank you everyone for joining us. Stay tuned for our next podcast. We're going to go over the same exact questions and talking about what's new in Thailand. So what's new, what's going on here? What are some of the new things that we're working on in Southeast Asia and also in Northern Asia? And also the difference is that as much as we love Central America, as much as we love Costa Rica and call that as our part-time home, but living in places like in Bangkok, Thailand, is for another spectrum and type of retirees or opportunity seekers or entrepreneurs. So the people who actually, what people don't understand is that you have to, we truly know this because we've been doing this for such a long time. There is a distinct difference of individuals that will retire, work, live in places like Costa Rica than people that retire, work, live in places in Southeast Asia. Very, very different people. Very different people. So what are the type of people that like to live in Costa Rica? These are the people that are already independently wealthy. Many of them will not be working. And a lot of them a lot older. But these individuals, as far as mentality and lifestyle goes, they want something that's very chill, relaxed. Not the hustle and bustle of a massive city like Bangkok or even a city like in Ho Chi Minh City, where it's crowded and congested, where people like me and people like Dean, we love that. We love that. So there's a distinct difference in the type of people that go to these different countries. So stay tuned for our next podcast. And Dean, did you have anything else to close with?
No, that's good. We're all good.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.